brings peace is love, right? Generating things in our life from love, from the perspective of loving each other, loving ourselves, is what's going to bring peace. So we start with love. That's consciousness, right? We move from there, and this is can only go in one direction. You can't go on part of the chart and then move to the other side, right? It just follows from love or from fear, which is the opposite ends of the spectrum of consciousness. We go from knowledge to sovereignty, right? When we accept the knowledge that we are source beings, then we move to an internal monarchy, right? So we have one ruler inside of us, okay? Next, the external expression, again, following from love, is freedom. That's external anarchy. That's why we're all here, right? To create that. And the manifestation is good or order. Now, on the government side, on the statism side, we have fear, right, that which is unconsciousness, that leads to ignorance, right? Indoctrination, refusal of truth. Then goes to confusion, which is an internal anarchy, right? Because there's no ruler inside you because you're getting commands from government and other places. And that leads to the matrix, that leads to control, right? An external monarchy. And the manifestation of that is evil. So who knows what are the three questions an animal can answer? Who knows one of them? Any animal, what are the three questions an animal can answer?
Are you hungry?
Can I eat it is number one. Number three is, can I mate with it? Number two is, can it eat me? Good job. So, smart group. So, that's animal consciousness. This is a quote from Harry Palmer, who wrote the Avatar course. Order is established in animal consciousness by dominance. Order is established in intellectual consciousness by argument or debate. Order is established in spiritual consciousness by respect. All right? So, according to the author, about 50% of humanity operates at the level of animal consciousness on a consistent basis. All right? Here's an example of, this is from one of his talks, an animal consciousness beer commercial. It tastes good, it won't hurt you, and it makes you look sexy. Right? So, you know, the powers that shouldn't be know, they know this information, and they, you know, they're going to put it out there to get the dollars and cents for them. Now, about 40% of humanity or so operates at the level of intellectual consciousness. Intellectual consciousness is ego, competition, war, rationalization. That's all the intellectual consciousness. The spiritual consciousness, which we need to get more people moved up there, that's benevolence, empathy, compassion, and all the top, you know, ways of being. Maybe only 5 to 10% of people operating at that level on a consistent basis. And I think this is one of the most important things of how we actually create a voluntary society, because just like Larkin Rose said last night, if you want to be free and you're on a plantation of slaves, there's not really a path for you. You have to get more people that are, you know, interested in moving this forward. Fantastic quote here. The best way to remove suffering from your own life is to act with the intention to reduce the suffering of other sentient creatures.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Peaceful Anarchism on the Voluntary Virtues Network on theconsciousresistance.com and theseedsofliberty.com. So Peaceful Anarchism is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments and the agents thereof. You can find out more information for this at BIPCOT.org. So today we have a returning guest, Adam Williams, who is a comeback coach and an avatar master. And he also is into crypto consulting. And you can find his websites. There's theavatarcourse.com. You can find all of the information about the Avatar Course. And then avatarrepc.com, which has all the media and videos about the course. And then avatarresults.com. And that has over 500,000 testimonials from people who have taken the course. And then there's meritorious.acuityscheduling. Which one is that about?
That's the crypto consulting
business. Crypto consulting.
Meritorious solution.
All right. Okay. So that's the crypto consulting website, and we'll have all these in the description as well, and you can find them on Facebook under Adam N. Williams. So yeah, we're gonna get into all that, what he's up to. So Adam, thanks a lot for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much, Danilo. Wonderful to be back with you again.
Yeah. I've been following you a lot on Facebook. You're going all over the world, and you're giving all these speeches and talks, and doing a lot of good things, spreading the love. So I'm I'm happy to talk to you again. So, thanks a lot. So please acquaint my audience with what you've been up to lately.
Yeah. Well, first thing I want to do is give a thanks to Jeff Borwick and Nathan T. Freeman for giving me the opportunity to speak at Anarchapuco last year, or this past spring down in Mexico. That was really a big catalyst for me to continue to integrate all the things I've been doing and move forward. It's great to be on stage for the first time since high school. So, yeah, it's been an interesting journey from my statist upbringing and statist career, being on Wall Street for 16 years. Left that behind finally last year. And moved to the Netherlands last April, and really had a nice renewal, and got myself, it was a big reset button after, you know, a long time in the Northeast and staying in Connecticut about 5 years too long. And so, yeah, it's been a great journey to, you know, just live within my principles and focus on doing things that give myself and others more autonomy and more self-sufficiency. That's what I'm focused on.
Yeah, that's basically the goal of the Avatar course, right? Is the way you're saying is just give people inspiration and, you know, good vibes and stuff like that. How would you describe the Avatar course?
Yeah, Avatar course has been around for 30 years. It's a course on human consciousness. I teach that with about 10,000 other masters that are around the world that deliver the course. It's been, you know, many hundreds of thousands of people that have taken the course over that time, and it's really amazing. There's not much else out there like it. I really say there's nothing else out there like it. I've personally done a lot of different trainings in the personal development space. I've walked on fire with Tony Robbins. You know, I've studied Eckhart Tolle. You know, been to see Abraham Hicks live and done all kinds of things, spent a lot of money on relationship counseling when I was married before. You know, Avatar course is really the most powerful and pure self-development program that's out there that's available. So that's why it's so important to me, and I see the transformations that come out of it are just amazing. And the goal is to create source beings. So, you know, source being is someone who's learned how to unindoctrinate themselves and dive into their consciousness and heal things and be able to create the reality they prefer.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I notice with a lot of volunteers is that they are willing to be more introspective and, you know, look at their own thought processes. And the first one that they do pay attention to is the idea of government, the belief in authority. But then after you get past that, you get deeper and deeper levels of, I guess, of complications, psychic complications in your mind. And you know, begin to unravel things. And so, yeah, it sounds like a perfect type of course for those people who are genuinely inquisitive. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, it was really exciting. I just came from the Avatar course last week. I was down in Orlando. I actually just stepped up to the first level of responsibility for a master's within the course, which is to be at every international course, which is every 3 months in Orlando. So it's a big commitment to come over from Netherlands and teach as part of the American network, which I'm still a part of. But well worth it to be able to help people and profound transformations and be able to handle things that they'd never been able to handle before. So really proud of my last student, who's Mr. Jake Bryan, who I met at Anarchapuco. Actually, I did an info hour there after my speech with there was 7 people that came to that one, and he was the first person from the voluntarist community that's come to the course, so there's going to be a lot more where he came from.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah, definitely. In Anarchapuco, I imagine a lot of people there would be open to this kind of thing. So you did a speech last year, All right, the last Anarchopulka, how did that go?
Speech was really amazing. It was called What Brings Peace. It actually just came out not too long ago after they edited, you know, all the speeches. And it was fantastic. I talked about a lot of different things. It's on my Facebook page, it's on the Anarchopulka page, and available online on YouTube. So you can definitely check it out. And I loved the speech. It went great. My roommate actually was a Toastmasters guy, so he gave me some great tips to prepare before I went up there. And it was just a great experience to be in that vibration. That gave me a great spot on day one. I think just after Julia Turiansky and before Carlos Morales. And it was fantastic to be there. The end of it was great. I closed with the compassion exercise. And that's one of the 30 exercises that you do on the resurfacing weekend, which is the first 2 days of the 9-day Avatar course. Mm-hmm. And the expected results on that exercise are a personal sense of peace. And it was just fantastic feeling the crowd, everyone's attention out at the end of the exercise. It was very special. So a lot of people said it set the tone for the weekend. So I was very grateful to have that experience.
So what do you tell people when they say, like, wow, Adam, you know, you exude positivity and, you know, love and compassion. So, like, have you always been like this, or have you yourself changed recently?
Yeah, I've always been a very energetic person. But a lot of parts of my personality were a lot more selfish than they are now. Mm. I grew up all over the country. My father, when I was 17, I had 17 addresses. Mm. So we moved all over.
Wow.
I was born in Indiana, lived there till I was 7. We had 3 different houses there. Then moved to San Antonio, Texas for 18 months, 2.5 years, just outside Philadelphia and Westchester, Pennsylvania. A year in Bridgewater, New Jersey. 2 years in Huntington Beach, California for 6th and 7th grade. That was awesome. Mm. We had a house about 6 blocks from the beach, so you could sit in our hot tub and see the ocean. So that was a great experience as a little kid. And then 8th grade in high school was in San Antonio. And then I went to Rice University in Houston. Then 9 years in Manhattan, 7 years in Connecticut, and now 18, 19 months in Netherlands. And I've lived in 4 countries. I lived in France twice, lived in Australia twice, speak French fluently, and I've been in 34 countries. So
wow.
done a lot of traveling all parts of the world. So growing up, my life and experience was really external focused. That was what my family was very achievement, you know, based, you know,
okay.
Growing up, all external things. And that was the focus. And uh-huh. We rocked that out, just, you know, following my mother and father's amazing example.
Yeah.
My dad is a businessman, and he was president of a cable company. So back before the internet. You know, he was a melanin enhanced man as you know, president of the cable company
mm-hmm.
in the 90s. So real trailblazer and you know, just my one of my heroes for sure.
Mm.
And that process led me to Wall Street where I became a derivatives trader and I became a director at Merrill Lynch and at Jefferies. And things were just really more self-focused. You know, I was focused on, you know, money and stuff and, you know, all those things. And it was really the crisis, the financial crisis, that kind of woke me up from my statism and you know, belief in government and you know things internally that I had never resolved. And that's what brought me to the introspective journey, which I'm able to, which I've been through on a real profound level, and now I'm able to help other people with.
So basically, your parents, I guess primarily your father, imparted an ambition. In you, like a burning desire for overachievement, would you say?
For sure, yeah, definitely. That was you know, my focus was you know, achieving things, and I'm still achievement focused, but now I wrap that in compassion,
right?
You know, empathy and service to others and personal responsibility.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's just wonderful when people, you know, just are affected by your energy. You know, when you come to the room, or even when people see you on Facebook and the things you write.
Yeah. Yeah, cool, man. I really appreciate it. You know, I've been giving a lot of things away for free these last, you know, few years, building my credibility in the voluntary space, and learning myself and just going to conferences and, you know, sitting in conferences for a while and now moving up to being able to speak on stage. So, yeah, it's been quite the journey and I'm really enjoying it, you know, so far.
So before your speech in Acapulco this year, how much public speaking experience have you had?
Yeah, no, the last time I had done it was in high school. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was great to come from that, and that was a lot many years ago. I graduated high school in 96. So,
96.
I'll be 40 in December. Yeah, you know, it had been a while, but to go from that to, you know, having what people said was one of the better speeches was a big honor for sure.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah, I used to do stand-up comedy, and one thing that you definitely learn in that is that more people are afraid of public speaking than they are of death. it's like the top number one fear of people is like getting in front of complete strangers. I mean, I guess in Anarchapulco they're not complete strangers because you know a lot of them.
exactly.
So it's a lot easier, but yeah, when it's a complete strangers and it's like, you know, it's nerve-wracking, you know, especially, you know, if you're a comedian, you know, you get up there and you have a mic and it's just you and it's like, make people laugh, people that you never met before, so, yeah.
Where did you do a stand-up comedy?
I used to perform in Manhattan, some clubs there, and also in Long Island. And that was for a year before my wife gave birth to our second child in 2012. So I performed maybe like 40 times. And... it was a great experience. Met awesome people. Yeah. Really,
I bet that you crushed it.
Yeah, I mean, I did pretty good. You can definitely see my development, like when I first started, and then as I progressed, I tried new jokes. You know, did different things, and eventually, I kind of learned. I kind of got in, a smooth place. You know, smooth sailing. Like I knew what was funny, I was able to iron out like my method. You know. And it worked for me, but unfortunately I had to stop because my wife needed me to help her at home. But I really gained excellent skills. You know, that really gives you a lot of skills. You know, being able to talk to people so they don't feel threatened by you. You know, so they feel at ease and calm. And laughter is a beautiful thing that can do that. It can really bridge people who... you know, might not otherwise be friends, but, you know, you can just make some people laugh and, you know, all of a sudden they let their guard down and they're more happy to be around you.
It's 100% correct. I agree.
Yeah. So, so let's talk about your crypto consulting course and what that's about.
Sure. Oh. So my partner in crypto consulting is a gentleman named Chris Merritt, who is a fantastic individual that I became friends with in the past year. He's been in Bitcoin for a really long time, since 2010. So he was mining Bitcoin back when it was, you know, 50 Bitcoin blocks.
A few cents or something?
Yeah, since, you know, a long time. Yeah,
wow.
He had a big stack of Bitcoins.
Wow.
At one point. So,
yeah.
So, you know, he's an amazing individual, you know, really just a fantastic person. He comes... you know, into Bitcoin from the financial side, you know, and the Austrian economics, you know, perspective, just like myself. So we really line up, and you know, it's what I see in blockchain happening right now is that there's so many ways for people to get distracted with all these different, you know, derivative stuff that's coming out, network marketing stuff tied to Bitcoin, and all these things that. A lot of them have already started to collapse in on themselves, you know, after not even being around for that long, ICOs, different things. So what we do is to help people just understand the fundamentals, understand the philosophy, just get from the basics so they can be safe and secure holders of Bitcoin and other cryptos.
So do you work with Sterling Lujan? Because I know he's really big.
I love Sterling. Sterling's my man. We spoke together both at Anarchapulco and at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival in Michigan, which I made it out to when I was in the country in the July timeframe this summer, and he's a great guy. We don't work together directly, but you know, certainly a big supporter of what Sterling's doing to help people. And similar field, education, and you know, really making sure people understand what they're doing.
Yeah. He's approaching it more from a psychological aspect, which is awesome because, you know, not too many, I guess, anarchists of altruists approach it from that perspective.
Yeah, we definitely do it in a more holistic perspective, helping people look at their entire portfolio and, you know, understand the reasons why the cryptos have value, you know, decentralization, you know, providing something where we can have more peace on this planet, and looking at it from that perspective versus, you know, a get-rich-quick type of scheme and the fear of missing out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, I can imagine how, you know, now that Bitcoin has topped 7,000, that so many people are looking at it and, like, you know, saying, see, it's a bubble. It's going to pop soon. You know, get out of it, you know. I mean, what would you say to those people?
I would say that it's just important to look at, you know, more than one viewpoint about what's happening. There was a fantastic article on Zero Hedge the other day that broke out all the world's money into blocks, into a graphic format. It's fascinating to see because numbers like trillions and quadrillions don't really mean much, you know, to people to understand what's happened out there and how much central banks have and the governments have inflated, you know, all these markets, real estate, stocks, bonds, and all the I think horrific, you know, consequences are going to happen as a result of quantitative easing and keeping interest rates at zero for all these years. So on this this presentation, it showed how the small size of the cryptocurrency market versus, you know, gold and silver versus real estate. And then when you look at the derivatives, like what these banks have on their balance sheet, that's what I trade. I was a derivatives trader, so I understand the risks in these products. It's such a huge amount that's out there. So when you look at when the music stops and trillions of dollars are trying to exit a rigged casino, there's only a limited number of places it can go. We'll see what happens. There's governments that are trying to get involved now. You saw Russia start the crypto ruble that's coming out, and you know there's going to be different things happening. So it's going to be ups and downs. You have the Bitcoin hard fork coming up in just a couple of weeks with the SegWit 2X coming. So a lot of moving parts. But what I say to people is forget about how you heard about it before and you didn't invest. Forget about what it could have, should have. Just don't even spend any time on that. It does not help you at all. Just get involved now. You can look at blockchain just like any other investment. You can buy $50 a month or $100 a month and get yourself a position in alignment with the rest of your portfolio and just start interacting with the technology and start learning about it. That's the best place to start.
Yeah. It's really amazing. You know, when you put into perspective like that of what the central banks have been doing ever since their inception, and you compare that with the crypto market, and people are worried about the crypto market. It's kind of like, let's get some perspective here.
Exactly, 100%. So it's
so important. Like, you know, just the idea that no central institution can control how much Bitcoin there is, or same thing with gold and silver. No central institution can control how much is made or produced, because it's not made or produced, it's just mined, and how different that is from a central bank that can just create digits and pieces of paper and call it money that we all have to use. And then,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And, you know, you look at the problems it solves, like, for example, blockchain, which came out in 2009 with Satoshi's white paper, solves the Byzantine general problem. And that had never, ever been able to be solved in all human consciousness. And the Byzantine general problem is if you've got six generals surrounding, like in a siege, surrounding a town, and you can only talk to one other general, how do you know what time the attack's supposed to occur? So that was never able to be answered before without a central authority, without a church, without a central bank, without a government. And now, because of blockchain, we can solve that problem with decentralized consensus. So it's so powerful, so interesting. There's so many applications, from smart contracts to changing the way we do everything and really taking separating the money supply from government, just like the church has been separated from government, you know, for the most part. So you look at you know, how important that has been, and you see, you know, how much we can end war, we can end all this nefarious, you know, hidden agendas that are out there when we take away the printing press from government. So it's very exciting, and you know, it's going to be an interesting journey for sure.
Yeah, I heard that the big banks like Chase, I think, is trying to get into blockchain technology, but that's different than cryptocurrency, right?
Oh no! So blockchain technology is the technology that underlines Bitcoin, other cryptos. Yeah, so that's the technology that makes the currencies work.
But it's not like what they're trying to get into is not cryptocurrency. They just want to use the blockchain,
yeah,
right?
They want to use blockchain for applications, and they also want to create public cryptocurrencies to compete against the private ones or to use. And there's some people like, do you know Brandon Smith from Alt Market?
No.
Yeah, he's an amazing writer. He's been really right in a lot of things, over these last few years. I definitely pay attention to what he and Mike Krieger from Liberty Blitzkrieg and some of these other writers who have been really spot on and put out great content. And Brandon's quite concerned about, you know, what governments are going to try to do with blockchain technology and how they can use it to enable this one world currency and these, you know, new world order kind of, you know, themes that have been out there for a while. So like I said, you know, it's going to be ups and downs. You know, you should only put an amount of money into cryptocurrencies that you can afford to lose.
Yeah, I've also heard some people, some skeptics say that, cryptocurrency is an interesting idea. It's fun to think about, but, you know, when governments really feel threatened by something, they're going to just take control of it and shut it down whenever they want. And what are you going to do about it? So what do you say to those people?
Yeah, I say that. I mean, the only way they can do that is by shutting down the internet.
Right.
And that's going to cause, you know, I mean, I don't know how they get. You know, I've heard about this internet kill switch they've been developing, behind the scenes. So, like I said, I mean, there's EMPs, there's all different things that happen. I mean,
right.
look at Puerto Rico right now. Look at different places that have been destroyed, don't have electricity. Mm-hmm. That's why you want to have some cash and gold and silver as well.
Yeah.
It's one solution for what's going on, not the only solution, of course.
Yeah, like I know Peter Schiff, who has a precious metals company, he's been a longtime skeptic of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and I don't think he's changed his position either. I think he does accept Bitcoin for his precious metals, but I don't think he's recommending people get into it.
Oh, that guy talks his book a lot. I do respect Peter Schiff.
Right.
In most other areas, I've read his books
and
I've followed his work for a while, but I think he's wrong on crypto, and he's obviously been proven wrong with the price movements recently.
Right. Yeah, and also, are you familiar with Mike Maloney? From Gold
Silver. Yeah. He's fantastic. Mike Maloney puts out fantastic videos explaining the farce of fractional reserve banking and what that's really all about. So yeah, he's great. And he's become more positive on Bitcoin as well.
Yeah, definitely. I've noticed that. I really have learned a lot from Mike Maloney.
Doug Casey as well. Another longtime gold guy has become more positive on crypto.
Right. It's really fascinating to see. And so, Mike Maloney, it's fascinating to see his evolution of kind of being skeptical to, he's slowly recommending people to get into it alongside of precious metals, you know, as just a way, another way to preserve your wealth. Right.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing is that, I mean, it was amazing what happened with the Saudi princes. I'm not sure if you've been following what's going on in Saudi Arabia.
No.
There's been massive, massive things happening in Saudi Arabia in the last week.
Uh-huh.
One of the main princes who's worth billions of dollars. He's one of the largest holders of Citigroup and some other companies. He just called Bitcoin a fraud like last week, or 2 weeks ago. And then the next week he's arrested by the Saudi officials for money laundering and for all these different crimes. And they shut down his accounts and froze his accounts. Well, if he had crypto, he wouldn't have to worry about that because no one can come unless they can get your private keys. They can't take your crypto away. So it's interesting that it happened in that sequence.
That is funny. Yeah. I mean, it's so true. Like the advantages that cryptocurrencies have over precious metals is unparalleled. Like, you know, how do you, if you want to buy something with gold, something that's over an ocean away, what are you going to do? Are you going to mail your gold? Like,
it's definitely more challenging to transact with. So,
you know?
And there's also way better memes with Bitcoin for sure than gold.
Right. I mean, I see stories all the time of people trying to transport their gold coins, especially gold coins, over, you know, like a border, and then you just get stopped and gets confiscated, and you're like, what do you have this for, you know? You must be a criminal, you know? And then how difficult is it to retrieve something once it's confiscated by state officials? Like, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, you see what they're doing with civil asset forfeiture, you know, here in the States. The government's literally stealing more money from people than robbers. There's more more assets taken from civil asset forfeiture recently than from reported in theft. So, you know, really, really nuts. But, you know, with all that being said, you know, we can focus on the big picture things and study them, whatever. But at the end of the day, we all have to create the best that we can from where we are. And that's why, you know, I'm focused on, you know, individual transformations, you know, one person at a time.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I definitely love about your message. And also, you know, that's kind of what I try to focus on in my videos as well, is just helping people to think differently, you know, because, you know, in the beginning, most, I think, anarchists go through this angry phase where, you know, you're just angry that you've been deceived and duped and lied to. And, you know, you rightfully should, but the problem is a lot of people stay in that state, right?
And yes, exactly.
That's
exactly what happens for too many people for too long. And you actually end up losing effectiveness because, you know, who wants to listen to angry people, you know, for too long? So... Again, that's where, you know, hiring a coach, going to an avatar course, you know, doing things to raise your consciousness, to raise your vibration in order to be able to expand your mindset, you know, helps you to be more effective in affecting that change.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, I always say the saying, you attract more flies with honey than with vinegar, right?
Mm, exactly.
You know, nobody wants to hear a complainer or an angry, you know, curmudgeon or anything like that.
Exactly.
It's like why are you just drawn to people? You know, some people draw more people. Why is that? You know.
Oh, it's I mean, the Dale Carnegie had it right with How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, 80, 90 years ago or whenever that book came out. You know, it said if you wanna catch honey, don't kick over the beehive.
Right. Exactly. There's a smooth way of doing things, and then there's a coarse, rough way of doing things. And I guess for some people, you know, like some people say, well, I needed the, you know, intellectual 2x4 to help, you know, snap me out of statism. But I'm not the one to wield that 2x4, so you're not going to get it from me.
Got it.
It's not my style, you know. It's like
no. And by the way, I love your videos, man. I love your storytelling. The other one the other day with the tragedy of the commons and the kids with the chips. You know, it's so instructive, and I love the way that you put those together and the background with the beautiful you know, trees up there in you're in the Catskills, or where are you?
Oh, various places. Yeah, Catskill Mountains. You know, wherever I'm. I was camping sometimes. Sometimes it's just in my backyard, but it looks nice still. Sometimes at a beautiful lake. You know, just a different place. I'm like, I should do a video here.
Yeah, it's where, you know, wherever you're inspired.
Yeah, and the thing is, I try to find. You know, valuable lessons that we can learn from our everyday situations. Because I think if we do pay attention, there are valuable lessons that we can teach. You know, you can talk about the idea of the broken window fallacy, and you can say the theory behind it. But then, how do you apply that into everyday real life? Like, I see that every single day. I can do a video like, that's the broken window. That's the broken, like. So I think that's important, is applying the theory to real situations. And I think that's when it kind of makes sense to you, because you're kind of living it, you know, you're understanding it, right? So
exactly right. So what's new for you these days, man? What have you been working on?
Well, actually, these days I have been doing a lot of my focus on my, I also have a chess YouTube channel. So I'm actually
chess. I love playing chess too. I'll have to play chess one day.
Yeah, I'm a big chess player ever since I was I learned, my father taught me when I was around 6 years old, but I got serious at 12, and I read a lot of chess books, went to chess tournaments, had a chess tutor. I played a lot of chess online, and then went traveling to various tournaments. It was really a lot of fun. But then, you know, I kind of had a lull during my college years, but I'm kind of you know, becoming more active online now, and I started my chess YouTube channel. I don't know if you've seen it, Danilovich Chess.
No, not yet. No, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, sure. Danilovich Chess. I have videos of there of me playing speed chess with my friends. And I have pictures, videos of my kids playing speed chess with other kids. And also when I play chess online, I'm going to be recording my games online and like, and I'm going to be talking through my games, like, so I can make it clear how my thought process is going. And that's, I think that's kind of instructive. Like, cause I love watching masters and grandmasters play, and I love not only watching them play, but also hearing them talk about how they're thinking. You know, I think that's one of the best ways to learn. So yeah, that's my thing. That's my other, one of my other passions.
That's great.
So yeah, so if you notice in my videos, a lot of the examples are with chess. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, now that you say that, I do remember you mentioned that.
Oh,
that's cool. I didn't know you were so that big into it.
Yeah. So yeah, and I'm actually now trying to teach some students now, and I'm organizing a chess club of various homeschoolers and non-homeschoolers, but whoever was interested in learning, because I just love it that much. I want to teach it, you know. And you know what's so beautiful is when I get a child that never played chess in their life, right? But they're interested in learning, and then by the end of being with me and learning and being around the other kids, they love it and they like, ah, that was so awesome! I can't wait to learn more, you know. And
yeah, it's really a great game.
Yeah, and that's my goal, is basically to transmit my love and passion for the game to the next person, right? And so, I think this idea of logic and rationality, for me, very easily transferred into capitalism and free markets, and voluntary. It just makes sense, like economics, you know?
just all goes together. It's real simple. There's one side of the ledger, which is Austrian economics and voluntarism and agorism and anarchism,
right,
and decentralization and love and compassion and entrepreneurship. And the other side of the ledger is the state and government and central banks and coercion and war and violence and farce and corruption. You know, so that's I think it's pretty clear. That's the way it's set up. And you know, right now, we're in the vast minority of people who have studied these principles and have looked into it. But it's more and more people all the time. Unfortunately, more people are also falling asleep because of technology and media indoctrination. At the same time, other people are waking up. So I've given up on it being a short process. I think it's going to be a longer process,
right,
to create, you know, a peaceful planet and a voluntary society. But you know, it's getting there, and there's more people that are working to build things, you know, outside the matrix, and that's exciting.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of people, a lot of volunteers get discouraged, you know, and they're like, you know, I'm realizing that at the pace we're going, I'm gonna die before a voluntary society is realized. And the way I look at it, I don't think that's the right way to go, because it's more like, you know, just affect as much change as you can.
Just move one step forward.
Right,
you know, that's all you can do.
Right, talk to, you know, one person each day. You know, just be real with the people around you. You know, spread love and compassion and kindness, and you know, that's it. That's how you make a difference. That's how you make an improvement. And don't worry about the voluntary free society. Okay, if that comes in your lifetime, that's nice. That's like the cherry on the cake. But you know, that's, to me, it doesn't mean our life was failed or a failure or in vain if that did not happen in our life.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So the way you described, like, on one side is volunteerism and free markets, and the other side is the state and coercion. It really makes it clear how absurd, you know, people focus on these petty divisions of like the rich and the poor, black, white, you know, immigrant, non-immigrant, you know, any, you know, male and female. There's all these petty divisions that only serve to weaken everyone and just divide us, you know. And go ahead.
Yeah. No, there's something I've said for several years. It's not black versus white. It's not left versus right. It's not Arab versus Jew. It's the state versus you. That's the only division in human consciousness. Mark Passio talks about this. You're familiar with Mark Passio,
yeah,
of course,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's definitely a big influence.
Yeah.
on me. I was actually there live at his natural law presentation in Connecticut in 2013.
Nice.
My friend Chris was one of the people who organized that.
Wow.
And that was just the way that you said, you know, different things you've learned all integrated and all made sense together.
Mm-hmm.
The natural law training and that information just goes right in with Avatar Course, goes right in with voluntarism all together. Learning about the non-aggression principle and the self-defense principle and really what those mean, especially the self-defense principle. I saw this video of, happened to be the Gays Against Guns, and there was some people laying down and saying, gun control now, gun control now. You're supposed to be protecting us. How many more have to die?
It's like, oh, shoot.
So literally, like, you want the person that you just called Hitler for a year to take all the guns away from it? It's like... just doesn't even, it's just, you know, but statism is kind of like a mental illness, but, you know, you have compassion for people, because that's the way I was until 2011, so, it's a process.
Yeah, and a lot of the homeschooling mothers that I hang out with are a lot of, leftist, liberal, Bernie Sanders supporters, almost socialists, you can say. But still, you know, I hang out and I'm good friends with them, and so it's fine, you know, and they know where I come from, but I don't like, I'm not always harassing them with, you know, anarchism, capitalism, you know?
Yeah, my closest family members are statists, you know, and they're, you know, I've got family members, really close family members that are, you know, they're doctor and surgeon and right all up in there with, you know, I mean, those two areas now are the biggest beneficiaries of the borrowing and the theft from the future, you know, that's happening. And, you know, they don't see things the same way I do, but, you know, I want to see my niece, so I'm not going to fight with them. You know what I mean? I mean, all you can do is to inspire and just, you know, be the change and live with as much liberty as you can. And, you know, the people who want to emulate you and learn from you are going to do it. You know, that's all you can do.
Yeah. It reminds me of the first time I remember I started learning. I was reading Larkin Rose's book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, and I was so excited about it. And I was telling my mother about it, and you know, the idea of stateless societies and voluntarism and non-aggression, all that. And then she's like, there was like a little pause in her voice, and she's like, "What right-wing nut are you listening to?"
No, it's like people are stuck in this binary 0-1, you know, deal, because that's the divide and control system that's being, you know, put in place. So, you know, that's what we're up against. But again, it's one person at a time awakening people.
Right.
And that's why I do, that's why I teach Avatar Course, and that's why I'm a comeback coach, you know, is to help people make those changes.
Yeah, you know, I love the fact when I meet different volunteers and I hear what they're doing, each of them are using a different strategy to spread this message, right? Like, you're doing it through this Avatar Course and the crypto consulting, and another person might be doing it through rapping or writing books or a poet or musician.
Unschooling or unschooling. Ayahuasca, you know.
Right. Agorism, shamanism, whatever. And it's beautiful. And then Sterling with his psychology, he's going at the psychology field. And that's awesome. You know, I just see so many different fields are being penetrated with this beautiful philosophy. And I see beautiful things in the future. I really think that I'm happy to be alive right now, meet the people that I have met. And I think that we can only go up from here. You know, I don't see World War III in our future. I just don't. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's me being naive.
Yeah, perhaps. I'm certainly not going to be afraid of it. My goal is to become as anti-fragile as possible in how I live my life and what I'm doing. That way, you know, when things change, should they change, I'm able to have a strong mindset and a strong, you know, level of vibration and consciousness, and I'll deal with what happens then. But yeah, being afraid of these tail risk outcomes, you know, doesn't really help you create more autonomy and more self-sufficiency. You know, taking aligned action towards your goals and learning new things and figuring out, you know, how you can fit in this whole process is what will do that.
So you're saying you don't have a large underground bunker with your toilet paper and your
I do not have that yet. I actually have very few things now. I You know, I don't have a lot of stuff anymore. I used to have a big million-dollar house and two German cars and all things, you know, back when I was on Wall Street. And that all got discreated, you know, several years ago when I made a series of poor decisions based, you know, out of fear. And, you know, I didn't have a flexible belief system at that time that allowed me to roll with what was happening. And so, yeah, it kind of is fitting that I'm a comeback coach as I'm coming back myself, you know, back to some of the places that I used to be. But instead of doing it working for someone else and being part of the matrix, I'm doing it through serving people one person at a time. So it's take a little longer to get back to where I was, but that's not even you know, the whole end goal. The goal is just to affect as much change as I can and just enjoy my life and help as many people as I can along the way.
Would you say that you're an advocate of minimalism right now?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I'm a big advocate of minimalism. I live a, you know, more nomadic lifestyle. Even in the Netherlands, I lived in separate different cities as I made my way there and figured out that country and got my. I have Dutch residency now, so I can go back and forth as I please, which
nice.
Which is awesome.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, the obsession with things. That, you know, I think it's another part of the control system and things can end up weighing you down. So I'm definitely in the stage at the moment. I've been in different stages before where I'm prioritizing education and experiences over things. Although I'm looking forward to having things again in the future. And that's happening. But yeah, I've actually dealt with a lot of scarcity the last few years and, you know, having different things happen and going to the Netherlands, I had almost no resources left. You know, when I went there, I was a big reset button for me to do that and a big stretch. But I think when you set up your life where you're constantly stretching and you're constantly becoming bigger and having challenges that you can overcome, it makes you a stronger person and makes you, you know, better for the experience.
Yeah, I think maybe by default, my family, we're practicing this focus on experiences. Like, instead of getting our kids, you know, expensive toys, we use the money that we have to buy like classes or, you know, go on camping trips or, you know, those kind of experiences, you know, and we think that that's so much more valuable for the kids, or meeting up with other families or going to a museum, right? Rather than just buying a video game or another, you know, another toy, I think that, you know, exactly what you said, I think it can have a much deeper impact, right, on a developing mind.
It's awesome, bro. Before we start to wrap up, I want to talk about comeback coaching real quick.
Oh, please do, please do.
So right. yeah, cool, man. So comeback coaching is my online business that I created last year. I got my assistant coach over in the Netherlands that we work together. Her name is Lotha Eikelstam, and you know, we're a team over there, and I help liberty-minded people get drastically unstuck and flowing into better shape and spirit through one-on-one coaching and group support. So I just posted a video tonight, one of my testimonials from a client who ended up earning about $30,000 extra in just 4 weeks of working with me, made some small changes to what he was doing.
Wow.
So I've had a lot of awesome testimonials, and my new websites will be coming out soon, so I'll definitely let you know. Maybe it'll be ready before you release this video so I can include it with everything else.
Awesome. Sounds good. So this is your business now, the comeback coaching.
Yeah. That's my business, and so I do that, you know, online with people and work on the phone, and people. I've actually had two of my clients then become Avatar students as well, and take that course to, you know, do something a little bit different. So I got multiple ways to serve people, and I'm here to help.
Great, awesome. So yeah, definitely. Hopefully, people will sign up for that. And yeah, that's awesome. You know, improving one life at a time. I like it.
That's the deal, man.
So awesome. So let's wrap up. So is there any other things you want to mention before we sign off?
Yeah, just want to say thanks for having me back on again, and looking forward to connecting with any people that watch this and are looking to. You know, get to the next level and get some help from someone who's created a lot of experiences, both positive and negative, and is working on the light side of the force to help people move forward, you know, in this voluntary process.
So repeat one more time. What's the best way they can find you if they want to follow you?
Sure. So on Skype, it's Avatar ANW. on Facebook, Adam N. Williams. Instagram is also Adam N. Williams. That's one word. Twitter is Adam N. Williams, one word. And, yeah, my email is riceowladam@gmail.com. So those are all the ways you can get a hold of me.
Excellent, excellent. So I know I asked you this last time you were on, but might have changed. So what is your favorite quote of all time, or maybe a quote that you have loved recently that you've been thinking about?
Sure. It's a quote from Harry Palmer, who wrote the Avatar course. And it's a quote on the definition of love. And it's that love is an expression of the willingness to create space in which something is allowed to change.
Ooh, very nice. I like that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Danilo.
No problem. Great talking to you, Adam. So please, everyone, check out his course. Check out his website. We're going to include those in the description below. So, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Adam, for coming on. So this is Peaceful Anarchism on the Voluntary Virtues Network on theconsciousresistance.com and theseedsofliberty.com. Wishing all of you have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this content and would like to see more of it, please feel free to donate and help me interview other fascinating people. You can do so through Patreon. That's patreon.com/peacefulanarchism to help me out. $1 a show is all I ask. If you feel so inclined to donate more, please feel free. It will only assist me in spreading the message of freedom and voluntarism that much farther and that much more efficiently. You can also donate to my Bitcoin. My Bitcoin address is in the description to my videos as well as on my website, peacefulanarchism.com. And while you're on my site, there's a donate button to donate through PayPal. If you prefer to donate through PayPal, you can do so with that. But Patreon is a little bit easier for content creators, as you can set up a recurring donation if you so desire. Also, while you're on my website, peacefulanarchism.com, please feel free to sign up, enter your email address, sign up for my newsletter, and you will receive updates every time I post something, a video or an interview. I do not send out any spam. Or you can also follow me on Facebook, under facebook.com/peacefulanarchism or facebook.com/DaniloCuellar3, I believe. DaniloCuellar3. So either one of those methods, if you are able to donate, I would be most appreciative. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a magnificent day.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411, because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.